grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel I just read. We've all received invitations of some kind, whether it be to a birthday party, a graduation, or simply an evening with family and friends. But the invitations that are often the most intricate, the most thoughtful and beautiful, are those that come for a wedding. Who doesn't love a wedding, right? However, I have to admit, the layers of envelopes, the excess paper you have to go through when you receive a wedding invitation to simply find out where the wedding is, where the dinner is, and what the dress code is, can be, well, just a little daunting. Of course, all three of these items also may be printed on three very different pieces of paper, so don't lose them. But then again, these days, invitations also seem to have a digital trail, coming by email or even a text. These are signs of the busy world we live in. Everyone's lives are full of obligations and commitments, so much that it wouldn't be shocking if an invited guest to a wedding will never even sees the invitation, much less replies. We are so preoccupied with our world and our own desires that we fail to acknowledge a simple invitation. In today's gospel, Jesus speaks a parable of a king who is having a wedding feast for his son. The king is God the Father, and the son is Jesus himself. The king sends out his servants to call those who were invited into the wedding hall for a wedding feast for his son. These guests are God's children, his beloved children of Israel. The servants, those who are the prophets, apostles, and ministers of the Lord, well, they go out with the word given to them by the king to announce the news that the great wedding feast has begun. But no one is interested in attending. Could you imagine no one being interested in attending a wedding today? Especially a wedding hosted by a king? No, the people in the parable are, well, they're all too busy to attend the wedding feast. All those who have been invited and called to the feast had other things to do. They had farms to tend and business to be handled. These men opt for what they believe to be the more tangible choice. The more tangible choice between work and the invitation and the promise of the king. Sadly, the crux of the matter in this parable is faith. And what is happening in the parable is the effect of unbelief. The culmination of the entire Old Testament leads to this wedding feast Jesus is speaking of today. It's the wedding feast where salvation and forgiveness is present in Jesus Christ. In fact, the teaching of all the prophets come to the close with one prophet. It comes to a close with the call of John the Baptist, who says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This call, this invitation went out to all the guests. God's word went out to all the children of Israel. But they did not hear it, nor did they receive this call and word of God. Rather, the text says, they, being invited guests, paid no attention to the call of the king. And went off, one to his farm, another to his business. In other words, they were too preoccupied with worldly things, the things around them. Tending to the work of this world, harvesting and making financial deals, appeared to be the sure way to go, rather than following and believing in the fulfillment of a promise that was yet to come in their minds. And sadly, we are no different from those within the parable. With a doubt, there are things that have to get done in this life. They have to. But if faced with a choice between the things of this world and a future promise made by a king, you too would probably be inclined to go for the tangible results you can see in the here and the now. There are chores to be done around the home. There are family commitments. And well, it's fall, so football is also on the TV. Prioritizing life this way reveals how you order your life like the guests in the parable. Finances, schedules, and tasks of daily life. This order aligns and occupies your life with worldly things, rather than with the kingdom of God, rather than with Jesus and his word, rather than with his grace and his forgiveness. For this reason, the king sent his servant John the Baptist into the wilderness. He was sent to call Israel to repentance and to faith in Jesus, to believe that the Messiah and the bridegroom had arrived and would save them from their sin. They did not listen. But this call and invitation remains for you today. It's a call to repent of placing your ways and your desires above God's, and to faithfully believe in the promise and forgiveness you have in Christ Jesus. The call of John the Baptist is a call and invitation to open your ears and turn your hearts to the Lamb of God, to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this begins by hearing God's word. In Romans, Paul writes, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." The correct response to hearing this word of God and receiving the gift of the altar is faith. Faith reorders life. It makes Jesus the object of your life. Faith believes in Jesus, his death upon the cross, his sacrifice for your sins and the sins of your neighbor. Faith believes in his resurrection 3 days later and his ascension to the Father. Do you believe this? The children of Israel did not. Rather, they rejected the invitation of the king, killing his servants, killing the prophets, apostles, and the evangelists who have been sent throughout time by God to proclaim his word. They suffered for the gospel, yet it is not their blood that secured their redemption, nor is it yours or mine, but the blood shed by Christ, the bridegroom. His blood paid the price for the bride, his church. His blood paid for your sin and secured your invitation to the wedding feast. Eternity with him. It's this word and promise that has gone out into the highways and byways, inviting people into the church throughout time. Regrettably, not all who have been invited and called remain faithful. Within this visible church on earth, the faithful and the unfaithful are intermixed within the pews. The wedding hall is filled, and in it, his servants, the pastors, pronounce forgiveness to those gathered, sustaining them with his gospel until the day of the king's return. And when the king returns, he alone will see the wedding garments upon the guests. He alone will judge the faithful from the unfaithful. Those baptized in Christ, those remaining in the one true faith, will be welcomed into the great wedding hall, where they will spend eternity feasting with the Lord. But those who have snuck into the wedding hall, as we heard in the gospel, without the wedding garments of faith, will face the wrath of God. Just as Jerusalem was brought to rubble by Roman armies in 70 AD, so will those who reject the gospel be destroyed. But for you, dear friends in Christ, dear members of God's family, there is no wrath left. Your Savior, Jesus, has stood before God. He has suffered the full weight of God's wrath for your sin. What remains for you, the faithful guests, the faithful family of God, is his forgiveness. What is left is his promise, the promise of the wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, a kingdom that will have no end, everlasting life. But until that time, you are invited to live by the promise of Christ, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a promise given to you in his word. It's a promise given to you in his flesh and in his blood. A feast that has begun and will not end. In these ways, your Savior supports and keeps you until the day of his reappearing. The day when the family of God is called into the great wedding hall for eternity. And in that way, there really is no better, no more beautiful invitation and promise than this. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.